Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, and empowerment. And as always, we are so excited to have you here with us at Your Place at Love Connection. This is where we seek to connect preaching and teaching and explore the Word of God. So we're excited for you to be with us tonight. As always, we start off with prayer. And then we'll have a song, we'll read scripture, and just while I have you, Margaret, do you have a scripture for us tonight?
Yes, I have a scripture. It is 1
okay,
John
so when time
2.
Comes, that's fine. When
okay.
time comes, if you do the scripture. So we'll have song, okay. we'll have a prayer, song, scripture, and then we will do our prayer, our intercessory prayer. So with that in mind, and Bishop, if you do the intercessory prayer, that would be awesome. So as
yes,
we come
ma'am.
Before the Lord, could we bow our heads together? God, we come before you tonight as we are so excited, Lord, to be in your presence. We're so excited to be able to do this radio broadcast for you, oh God, because we've come and you've allowed us to be partakers in your work. You, oh God, had the vision and imparted it to us, and we joined and teamed and collaborated with you to get that which you desire done. And so from your place panel, we thank you. From your place speakers and people who are listening out there, Lord, we just ask that you would touch their hearts so that they can find something, hear something, learn something that would make them say, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to grow? What must I do, oh God, to be more and more like you? And so as we walk today, oh God, we are looking at the book of Signs by Dr. Jeremiah. We're examining that. We don't agree with everything that Dr. Jeremiah said, but we do use it as an opportunity to dialogue about what God has in store for us. And so tonight, we will be talking about the false prophets. We will be talking about the false prophets. Last week, we talked about the Antichrist. And the week before, we talked about the four writers. And so that is what we are going to do. We're going to summarize, however, and we just want everybody to be on one accord. And we're excited again to be in the presence of the Lord. So let us start together. And, you know, I just want to say, just because of who God is, and I love Vicky Yohe. So let's hear a song from her, Because of Who You Are.
Because of who
Amen. We worship the Lord because of who you are. So grateful, so grateful, so grateful. This month, now we will go to the scripture. Excuse me.
Revelation chapter 3, verses 11 through 18. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. Also, it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, that is, the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Amen.
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 Amen. Now is the time where we come together to stand in the gap. For those that are listening and those that have prayer requests, that is what intercessory prayer is. We stand in the gap and plead on their behalf. So are there any prayer requests? Hello.
This is Dr. Susie. Everybody has, they have to get off mute. They were on mute. This is Dr. Susie, and I asked prayer about job opportunity, possibility. I asked prayer for that, that God's will be done, and I'd be able to walk into that position. I also pray for Brother Eric and his family. I pray for the Brown family. I pray for Dr. Nooks. He needs healing. I pray for Shirley's not on here, her family, as they have lost. I pray for Brian, Michaud and his family, for they just lost someone to COVID. I pray for Brian out of Louisville, Kentucky. He lost his mother. Brian Warfield. So I pray for he and his wife and their family. And I pray for, who else did I want to lift up? That gets me started.
Amen.
Oh, and my son James and my daughter Sydney. Pardon me?
What's the other Brian's name?
Brian Warfield and Brian Michaud. Brian Michaud is in Maine. Brian Warfield is in Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
And I ask you to add James and Sydney to that.
Yes.
Okay. I'm done.
Yes.
Hi, this is Jerry from Maine.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi.
Hey, Jerry.
Hello.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello. Good to hear everybody. I'm asking for prayer requests for my good friend. I've known him over 30 years. And his grandson, it's his daughter's son, just died last week from an overdose.
Oh.
and they're having a really, really hard time with it. And I know Pastor Susie can relate so much to this, and he just keeps saying, and she keeps saying, his daughter, it's not supposed to happen like this. I was supposed to go first. Your kids aren't supposed to go. And they knew that he had drug problems, but he was trying to get things on track and get out of it. And they're investigating whether or not that the whatever he had gotten a hold of might have had fentanyl in it. And so they're doing an investigation with that right now. And they're just really, really having a hard time with it. They called me today, and they don't have the money to do his obituary, so I volunteered to pay for his obituary so they can get that done.
Is it the funeral, Jerry?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Are they going? Do you know if they're going to cremate him or anything? Do you know?
If they have enough money, is honestly is what they're trying to do, is get enough money together. Then they would like to have a regular funeral. If not, they are going to cremate him.
Okay.
He was only 23 years old.
Yeah.
So obviously they weren't prepared for this at all.
So did they do a GoFundMe page?
Well, the funny thing about it is his the sister of the young man that passed away did a GoFundMe, and my friend is like, don't give any money to that GoFundMe, because she kind of did. She's 18, and the way she did it wasn't right and everything else. So I believe they're going to another way to do it. I think they're eventually going to put one on, but for now they're just trying to get money together. And like I said, I offered to pay for the obituary or and anything that they can do for the funeral itself. They actually have a church that's offered to let them use their facility to have the funeral, because they had nowhere to go. Because that's one of the things that we've actually talked about, is I've been trying to get this friend of mine saved for so many years. We talk about God and the love of Jesus, and he just he believes in it. His parents are real big churchgoers. They were. And the church that they go to is the one that he's probably going to end up doing the funeral with. But I've had a little bit of a chance to talk about God with this happening, because they're just so distraught. I've been praying that they would understand, you know, why did this happen? Why did God take him? And
right.
So yeah. it's been really tough. The funeral is next Saturday, and they've already told me that they would come and send somebody to come get me, so I'm going to go to the funeral. But they're just really having a hard time, as you can understand, because they're like, it's not supposed to be this way. I'm supposed to go first, especially my friend. He's like, it's my grandson. Why is my grandson, you know, I have to bury him first? And their names are Ed and Krista Haley. And if I could just get prayers for them to be able to handle this. And then the fact that, you know, me just still talking about the Lord with them and understanding what's happened, and, you know, not blaming God, but they're just wondering why this happened. And so.
All right, Grandpa.
Amen.
Amen.
Is there anybody else?
This is Margaret Bishop. I'm asking for prayer for my daughter, Sophia. She's been carrying both her baby infant into the daycare in their car seat every day together, so she wouldn't leave one out in the car, and she hurt her back. And she's still breastfeeding. She doesn't want to take any pain meds, and she's suffering. So just prayers that she would get a healing, a divine healing, that she would be able to find the person who could help her. She hadn't been able to get anything lined up yet. And just asking for her comfort and deliverance from pain without pain meds. And also, I just lift up the folks in the Ukraine and for our boys who are going overseas. Just lift them up for the Lord's blessing, protection, for his provision. And just thanking God for being there for us so that we can call on him in whatever situations we find ourselves, that he can make things better, although things seem very bleak.
Amen.
I'm going to ask that the,
Bishop, I wanted to add one more thing before you go. Yes, Shirley asked for prayer, and I forgot. I'm sorry, you guys. Shirley asked for prayer. She, her church has been asking her to do some extra things, and she's asking that you would be with her and pray with her as she reaches out to give support to her church. So, and Sylvia Trotter asked for prayer as well.
Sylvia Trotter.
Amen.
Yeah, she used to come on the Bible study with us.
In addition, my family, just like everybody else's family, has suffered loss. My younger cousin, Richard Brown, is no longer with us, and we want to pray for his daughter, my cousin, LaShawna, because she's had to take control of the arrangements for the funeral. And again, there's a GoFundMe for Richard's funeral, and just pray for our family as a whole. And of course, we're going to lift up the church universal, because if ever there was a time for prayer, it is right now.
Amen.
Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we bless you. We glorify you. We honor you. We worship you. We adore you. We glorify your name in all the earth. You are wonderful. You're altogether lovely. You are our God, and we thank you that we have the privilege to be called your people. Lord, we bless you and we glorify you. We honor you. We praise you for who you are, for your benevolence, for your love, for your kindness, for your tender mercy, for your outstretched hand. We thank you, Lord, that you are there. As Margaret just pointed out, you're there for us to come to. And we come to you now in the name of Jesus. And we just offer our praise, our worship, our adoration to you now. Lord, we lift up Dr. Susie's job opportunity. Lord, we claim Psalm 5 that she would be encompassed as with a shield of favor. We thank you, Lord, that you said in your word that if anybody lacks any wisdom, that we would come to you and you would give us the wisdom. So, Father, we thank you for Dr. Susie's wisdom, that you would give her that discernment of whether to say yes or whether to say no. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up our brother Eric and lift up his family. You know what Eric stands in the need of. And Father, we bless Dr. Nooks in the name of Jesus. We thank you that he stands in the need of healing and that you are the one that is able to heal. Not only are you able to heal, Lord, but you are willing to heal. So we ask, Lord, that you would lay your whole hand on him. You're able to touch what we cannot touch. You're able to see what we cannot see. You're able to wipe away tears that we can't even touch, Lord God. But you're able and willing to do it. You're able to do it exceeding abundantly above that which we can ask or think. So touch James Nooks in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God. We bless you. We honor you. We adore you. We worship you. You are so able. You're so willing. Lord, we bless you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Lord, we lift up Shirley and the loss that her family has gone through. And not only that, but the church has asked her to do some things to support the church. So, Father, we come to you asking that you would anoint Shirley for the task at hand. We lift up Sister Sylvia Trotter, and you know what she stands in the need of. And, Lord, I pray that you would bless her, keep her, and protect her in Jesus' name. We pray for Brian, who has lost family. We pray for the Brown family. We lift up Brian Mitchell and the other Brian, Warshaw, in the name of Jesus. And we pray for James and Sydney. Bless them in a special way. Meet every one of their needs. And if there's need for healing, Lord, we thank you for it. We just know that you know everything that there is to know about us because you've numbered every hair on our head. You've written our names on the palm of your hand, your word tells us. Lord, we lift up Jerry and his friend that lost their grandson. And you know everything. You know the answers. We lift up this family that are in their grief. Holy Spirit, you are the comforter. Your word tells to that we are blessed when we mourn. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Jesus said that I'll go away, but I will send the Paracletus, the one that is called alongside to help. I will send the Comforter. Comfort them now in their grief. Comfort Ed and Krista right now and their family, and comfort them. We thank you for sending the funds to meet these needs for this funeral. I pray, Father God, especially, Lord, that even on the funeral that you would anoint a preacher. Let it turn into an evangelistic event. I pray a special anointing on Brother Jerry, that you would use him to comfort, to even lead someone to Christ in the name of Jesus. You're able and you're willing. I thank you. I thank you for Jerry planting the seeds of evangelism in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we claim souls to be saved at this funeral. And, Lord, we pray for Sophia, Margaret's daughter.
Thank you, Lord.
Heal her. Heal her in the name of Jesus. Lord God, you're able to do it, Lord. You are the healer. By your stripes, we are healed. And send help for the babies, God. Send help to help Sophia with the babies. We lift up those people in Ukraine and those that are fleeing Ukraine. We lift up every refugee, Lord God. Not only the Ukrainians, but the Nigerians and the Ghanaians that were there for school. Lord God, as they go, protect everybody that has to flee that country. And we pray for those that are going over there to fight in this unjust war. In Jesus' name, Lord, we lift up my cousin, LaShawna. We lift up the Brown family. Lord God, we kind of knew that Richard was leaving, but still, when they leave, it still hurts. So, comfort our family. Comfort our family in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, hover over each and every one of us. Minister to us in Jesus' name. And God, in this time, and it's no accident that you have us teaching what we're teaching. There's no accident that you have us expounding upon what is coming not too many days hence. So we lift up the church universal. Raise up evangelists. Raise up preachers, raise up prophets to go out with the holy boldness. We can no longer do church as usual. We can't do it that way anymore. Lord, we got to take the church outside of the four walls. Use us, I pray, in the name of Jesus. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We pray for the president and his cabinet. We pray for this nation that God would send revival. Hallelujah. In the Bible across this land, let us come crying, what must we do to be saved? Cause us to fall on our knees and seek your face, turn from our wicked ways. That's when you said you would heal our land. So, Lord, we repent of any sin, any offense. We repent, we turn from our wicked ways. Please forgive our sins and please heal our land. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Woo, God is so good. God is so good. I just want us to take a moment and just praise the Lord for all that God has done. You know, we woke up this morning. We started on our way. We give God the
Amen.
Glory and the praise for being here tonight. And as we are here, we thank God for using us as vessels. Lord, you chose us. And so we are just grateful that we're able to serve. So tonight, as we begin, we will do a little review. And Margaret is going to start a little bit of talking about the review of the Antichrist. We're going to start back because we stopped around the end where he was talking about how the Germans handled it, and it actually wore people down to the point that they were running to be electrocuted by the fences, or they knew that if they ran that they would shot and kill them. But that's how the Antichrist is going to do. He's so horrific in his cruelty that people will run to get out of here, to give up and move forward. So, Margaret, if you'll take the helm and just kind of lead us in a quick review, and then we can start to finish at the last. We can go back and actually start and teach that last little section and then go on to the next book.
Okay.
Next chapter.
Well, at first we discussed how the Antichrist, what the word actually meant, and it was presented as meaning one who's against Christ, of course, but it also meant instead of Christ. So it's a counterfeit, attempting to be Christ at the same time as being opposed to him. There were four verses in the Bible, in the book of 1 John, chapter 2 and 4, that actually described and mentioned the Antichrist. John chapter 2, 18, children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. And also, verse 22, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is in the world already. The Antichrist will live up to his terrible name. He will be Satan Superman, but he won't be Satan. Some people think he's Satan, but actually it appears that he is Satan's creation, crony, Satan's possession, who persecutes, tortures, and kills the people of God. And there are some aliases. Yeah.
So you're saying that that this is kind of like the Antichrist, like you were saying, is going to pretend to be God. And I think we talked about a little bit last time how there was several people who actually have presented themselves already as the Antichrist.
Yeah.
I remember seeing them on television. So this is not something that is not real. This has actually happened.
Yes.
So does anybody else have any understandings of the Antichrist, Bishop and Jerry, or interact with Margaret?
I have a take on it that the Antichrist would be part of the unholy Trinity. You have the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
You have the false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is he's false, he's fake. And here's the thing, is a lot of us have named every president since I've been alive as the Antichrist. Every president of the United States has been the Antichrist. And people have named him. This is a good point to bring out. This is the time we really need to buckle down and study so no one can deceive us. Jesus said, see that no man deceive you. Many Christ shall come in my name. Many people shall come in my name.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that, but Bishop, that's absolutely right. When you say that we've named every president, isn't that funny? Because the scripture says it will come from what? A Gentile nation, right?
Gentile nation, yes.
Yet it seems to be clear. Paul tells us in the second chapter of Thessalonians that this coming of the Antichrist will not be revealed until the rapture of the church. And the important take-home point is, so if you ever reach the point where you think you know who he is, that must mean you have been left behind, because the believers, the people who have accepted Christ, will be raptured before the Antichrist takes hold of his reign.
Right, and that's what Dr. Jeremiah says. And you know, for me, I believe we can have some idea, because that's one of the other things Dr. Jeremiah says, is that we don't know who, but we do know what. And so, you know, the whole thing we've been learning the last 2 years is to be aware. We are to be aware, so we should be using our antennas to go, is this the Antichrist? Could this be the Antichrist? Could this be the Antichrist? Mm-hmm. We need to be aware. Our focus needs to not be so much on the Antichrist, but are we ready for Christ? Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Are we ready to get out of here when God comes to take us home? Are we ready to do everything that we need to do to make sure that when he comes in the cloud, we can go along with him?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're having these studies. And so, yes, we need to know who the Antichrist is. Yes, and we need to be aware, because that's important for us to have revelation knowledge so we won't be deceived. But we need to be getting ready to leave this place and to meet the Lord in the air when he calls.
Dr. Susie, can I say something here? And I don't know if, you know, cause first time I saw it, I was like, no. And then I checked another source. The United Nations has placed a giant statue in New York that seems to resemble an end-time beast from the New Testament book of Revelation. In New York. A guardian international peace and security sits on the visitor's plaza at the UN, and the guardian is a fusion of a jaguar, an eagle, and donated by the government of Osaka, Mexico.
Hmm.
If you see this thing, you're...
eagle and a jaguar.
So, when we talk about the beast, isn't that similar to the one in Revelation?
And even in Daniel, Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, diverse from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. So,
have mercy.
You know, here we are. Yeah. Here we are. It's time, like the old folks used to sing, get right, church, and let's go home.
And let's go home. Woo! I remember that song.
We got to get So yeah, this is
but
this is not a place.
If it's not, and I love what you said, Bishop, about understanding that there are things that are happening around us that are clues that we need to get right and get ready to go home. My question becomes: are there other signs that people are seeing? Anybody else? Are there other things that people are seeing? So one of the things that's interesting to me is in the governments, you know, we get the opportunity, right, to do invocations and things like that. So the Satanists decided that they, too, wanted to be able to give invocations in a city place. So what they said is, well, we designate ourselves as a religion. So every religion ought to have the opportunity to do an invocation.
Mm-hmm.
So people got nervous about that because it's like, Satanists doing invocation? So they stopped it altogether.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what's happening. When you talk about the unholy trinity, that is them mimicking Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And the three are the witness, I'm talking about the unholy trinity. It's Satan, the unholy, the witness, and the prophet.
Antichrist, Satan,
the Antichrist, the witness.
Prophet.
Yeah. Antichrist, Satan,
prophet.
And the false prophet. The three that are mimicking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is what is said by the Apostle Paul in Thessalonians 5:2-3. For you yourselves know full well that that day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. So, you know, while they're saying one thing, another thing is going on behind the scenes. And every woman that's had a baby couldn't pinpoint when she's going to have that baby. I have a niece, Alora, that's on her way. She's scheduled to be born on my birthday. But she could be born before or after.
Mm-hmm.
My birthday is next month. So I tease them. I think I want the baby to be born on my birthday. But anyway, no woman has ever had a baby knew when she was going to have to go in and have that baby delivered. So, and I like that what Paul uses. It's going to be like when labor pains come from a woman. She knows she's going to have the baby, huh? But she doesn't really pinpoint when she's going to have the baby. So we
yeah, but when it's time, you better be ready to go.
Bags packed, ready
isn't
to go.
Isn't that right?
So.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Amen.
Ain't no stopping us now. Time to roll.
Hello. Amen.
All right.
So we are. Thank you, Sister Margaret. That was amazing.
Did you have other? Did you have anything else, Margaret?
Yes. We studied Daniel's scriptures, chapter 11. Verse 21, describing how the Antichrist will come in peaceably and seize the kingdom by intrigue. Daniel's dream, the Antichrist will be a politician, a masterful diplomat, and a clever leader.
Persuasive.
He will speak blasphemies, but still he will be effective to dazzle the masses, and people will worship him. He will be a cruel leader, and his kingdom will devour the whole earth and break it into pieces, and he will be blasphemous and persecute the saints of the Most High.
Wow.
And he will intend to change times and law.
Amen. Amen.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen.
So.
And then he will painfully wear down the people of God, Daniel 7:25,
right.
Persecute and torture them.
Yes.
But even worse than anything known in history.
Yep. Worse than Stalin. Worse than Hitler,
Mao,
all of those. That's worse
Hitler.
Than all of those put together.
Yes.
Worse than all of those together. So,
hi, this is Terry. I just want to say, I'd like to say the one thing that makes me feel good, and I know Dr. Susie has talked about it before, about we're going to not have to experience a lot of this. one of the last things in that chapter that it talks about, the Antichrist thing, is it says, you will be taken out of the world into his glorious presence, never to experience the horrors Daniel and John described in their prophecies. And it says, keep looking up. So thank the Lord we're going to be gone. So I just think it seems important to try to get young people now to realize what's going to happen, because we're going to be gone and we're not going to be able to notice the signs to be able to tell them. So I think we need to more and more try to let people know what the signs are, so that if they're not,
that's why
we're
talking
gonna,
now.
Right, exactly.
That's why we're talking now. That's why we have the show. Yes. The issue is we can't make people, Jerry, so what do we do? We're broadcasting, and this broadcasting goes all over the world. So, if you know, the young people are out there. This is accessible to them as well. You know, we're not trying to keep anybody from it. It's they can get it just like the, and it's on YouTube, all of those places. It's on all of those places. So God is fixing it so that people can't say, I didn't know. They won't be able to say, I didn't know.
Amen.
And so, you know, I talk to my children and I try to get them to be prepared and ready. And it's a challenge because they have a different perspective. And, you know, that's why when we have funerals, they need to be opportunities for us to tell people, get ready. It's not a time just to go and say, hey, we love Brother Mark. He was gone, and we're just thankful for him. It's time to say, look, Brother Mark, we're praying, and we hope he made the best decision. But for those of you who are left, don't get caught like this. Don't get caught to where you're not ready.
Amen.
Be ready, because you don't know how long it's going to be. You don't know when or where or how. So be ready. So,
amen.
I did want to say something. You know, we talked about it. I just wanted to read this little piece because it really kind of messed with me. It was talking about the 12th chapter of Revelations when it talked about how the dragon and the dragon, Satan, represents Satan, how he was thrown out of heaven because he did what? He tried to get a third of the angels to turn against God because he wanted to be God. He wanted to be over God. He wanted to be the one in charge. And as a result, he was thrown out of heaven and immediately began to try to get all people to turn against the Lord and be like him. So when we link this chapter with Daniel, this is a profile we get of the leader of how he comes to power. And it says these viewpoints, which I want us to write down and remember, the viewpoints are political. One is political. Two is national. Three is spiritual. And the fourth is providential. And I think that's really cool to know those four things. And I actually tried to think, as I saw those four, I saw it as SPN. SPN, SP2N. SP2, that's my mnemonic. Okay. SP2N, spiritual, political, providential, and national. So SP2N. And so for me, I got to try to figure out how to remember that. So SP2N, spiritual, providential, political, and national. And Daniel talks about the Antichrist that we talked about when he was saying that, you know, like Margaret was saying, he's got this personality, how he's, you know, among the masses. And when they talk about among the masses, they talk about from the people and how he comes up and he stands out from the people and he emerges from the Gentile nation. Woo! Gentile nation.
Oh.
And we talked about how he's probably living now. And it says that, you know, since he will make a covenant with the nation of Israel, many people reason that perhaps he will be a Jew and that Israel anticipates her as Messiah, but he can't because it says that he's coming from the Gentile nation. And the Bible really doesn't give us any information that suggests it is going to be, that that's the way it's going to be. So I personally believe that the it's going to, like I said, come from a Jewish nation. Doesn't mean it, I mean, from a Gentile nation. Doesn't mean that we don't have Jews over here, you know, because we have all ethnicities over here. But what we do know is that it comes from a place like the United States. But anyway, as we look at that, it says that the history of the church has the notion that the Antichrist will be of Jewish origin. And I don't know that, but we do know he's going to come from a Gentile nation. So I wanted to point that out, that he would be spiritually blasphemous. We said spiritual, and Margaret said spiritually blasphemous, meaning that what it says, he's going to talk against God. He's going to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. He's going to do all the things that are negative and, you know, try to get us to worship anything but God, because he's revolting against God. And he's using the Trinity as we use the anti-Trinity, as we are using our Trinity. And so Paul says in Romans 1 that the ancient Israel warns us that it's a terrible thing to worship the creature instead of the creator. So we know that the enemy is what? The creature. He's not the creator. Yeah. Anything else is, that's blasphemy, because he's not the creator. So anything that's not worshiping God is blasphemous. It's not, you know, for, specifically for those who claim to be Christian. So we've been warned against this. And then John says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life. So all of us, immediately, the reason why we have accepted the gift of salvation is because we wanted our names written in the book of life. But there are people today Amen. Who don't even think about Christianity. They don't think about having a faith. All they think about is living their life. And I see every day it says people who say no preference at all. They don't have any preference about where they are. They don't care. So those are the kind of people whose names won't be written in the book of life. And so we have to understand and pray for those people that they will be drawn to have a relationship with God. And it said that this ruler, this horrible ruler, as Margaret said, is going to try to change everything. So closing, when it says providential, what does that mean when he's talking about that it's providential? He's terrifying, we know that. The epitome of evil, right? He wants us all to bow before him. But what do we mean when we say providential? He's not equal to God. Well, we got to remember that.
No,
he doesn't
not
have
equal
absolute
to God.
Power.
That's clear.
He doesn't have absolute power. God does have him on the chain. God is in control, and God is the one that says enough, right? He can only do what God allows him to do, because the scripture says this, and he was given. He was only given the authority to continue for 42 months, and he was given. It was granted to him. So God allows this because we chose to reject the Lord. Not we, me, but people who chose to reject the Lord. And so they have to suffer the consequences of their choice. And so he's allowing them to have what they wanted. You don't want me, so this is what you get. If you want Satan, this is who he is. He's torturous. He's evil. He'll tell you one thing and stab you in the back, you know. So that's what we have to look at, and he's intimidating. And anybody, what do you? I kept seeing this ferocious beast, you know. But we got to remember, it says he's the very opposite of what he said. He was good looking, personable. He's charming. But I always thought he would be horrible looking. But that's not what Margaret told us earlier.
Dr. Susie.
Well, yeah.
How can you seduce someone if you're not appealing?
You can't. But Jesus did.
Yeah.
They said he was, Jesus was not an attractive person. They said he was actually a homely. He was not attractive. Comely.
But
they said he was not.
But
I looked it up. It said he was not attractive. So you can't influence people easily when you're not attractive.
Yeah,
but what Jesus appealed differently. By his works, by the things he did, by his love and passion for people, and by his spirit, the work that he did, the help that he gave to people, the passion and concern, the healings.
And there
right?
is a difference. Jesus came to save. The Antichrist will come on the scene to kill, steal, and destroy in a greater way than he's already done. And how can you do that to people? Unless you have something that appeals to their carnal nature. You know, all this time, look at people. Look at how people, why are they not accepting Christ? And this is what, while we were talking, this is what came to me. A lot of people are not accepting Christianity because of so-called Christians. We can be some ugly people sometimes. And, you know, that's why a lot of people do not want Christ. They say, if that's what Jesus does for you, I don't want it. In other words, in short, church hurt. I ain't going back to that church.
What?
I'm not even going to mess with that.
But you know, you reminded me of something, Bishop. Remember Gandhi? Gandhi said he would have been a Christian, but his followers don't act like him. That's exactly what Gandhi said. I never forget that.
So it's incumbent upon
followers
us.
Do not look like him. Yes.
It's incumbent upon us to learn who he is. It's not just dipping yourself in a bucket of water. It's not about you not wearing makeup
putting your
and
toe
not
in.
Wearing pants. See? So we have to learn who Jesus is and learn his ways and follow.
So when you say not wearing makeup and not wearing pants, what does that mean?
Certain denominations feel that the only way you're going to get to heaven as a woman is you can't wear makeup, you can't wear pants, you have to wear a dress. And, you know, it's just, you know, some of these religious rules that we follow by thinking that we're going
to
get in.
Right. I just wanted you to clarify that because people can't make the connection. You have to connect the dots because they don't know. That's what, okay.
Thank you, Dr. Susan.
Okay. That's okay. So when we look at this and we see that after the death and satanic resurrection, the Antichrist is going to assassinate leaders of three countries and all other nations then start to relinquish their power to him because they're scared, then he sets himself up to be worshipped by all the people of the world. And then he's got his associate, the false prophet. The mark of the beast will be placed upon all those who follow him. And so I ain't going to be here. But anybody who doesn't bear this mark will be unable to buy or sell in the world. Now, you know what scared me, y'all? And I know God is not giving us a spirit of fear, but what I guess I should have said, what alerted me and made me ponder was when the mayor of Chicago said that nobody would be able to buy or sell unless they had the shot. It just reminded me of what's coming.
Yeah, it's a precursor. It's a precursor.
And I wonder if it's a conditioning that's taking place, a type of conditioning.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, so it says, in a final act of rebellion against God, this vile person sets him up in Jerusalem and desecrates the temple, the abomination of desolation. Wow. And then he tries to annihilate every Jew on earth. Isn't that horrible?
Yes.
Sounding the first note to the Battle of Armageddon. Wow. But that's when it becomes what did Eric call it? He said it's not a real war. It's just a, how did he call it? What did he call it? He says a massacre.
I don't know. Yeah.
He says it's not a real war. They're not really going to be fighting. He's just going to take everybody out. going to be done. Because, see, they're not equal. We need to understand they're not equal. Satan might fight, but God just going to, and it's done. They're not equal. He is the creator. And the created is coming against them. This is not the first time the enemy's come against them. That's why he got kicked out of heaven.
And speaking on
he
that, Dr. Susie.
Will lose. Yes, sir.
Behold, I saw Satan fall as lightning. You don't fight nothing
yes.
that you created. God stayed on the throne. Michael threw him out of heaven.
Well, we didn't talk about
Revelation.
Who threw him out, but he got threw out. Yes, he did.
When we read Revelation, the thing that we see is one angel shall throw him into the one angel shall throw him into
probably
the,
Michael again.
One, yeah. So that's where we're. You know, it amazes me, and even it says this. When we see him, we're going to be like, that's what caused all of this? We're not even going to be impressed. We're not
you know,
even
but what
going
amazes
to be impressed.
Me.
When we,
go ahead.
When we see him for what and who he is, when we see it, we're like, oh, this is what caused all of this confusion and disease and wars and all of this stuff. One angel is going to throw him in the bottomless pit, chained. Chained and throw him in the pit. So that amazes me
you know,
still to this day.
As you talk about when we look at him and we're going to be amazed, it reminds me of I used to think about it when I watched, Mulan. When you watch
mm-hmm.
Mulan, Mushu is this little bitty dragon, and he always acts bigger than what he is, so he gets behind stuff,
mm-hmm.
and his shadow gets big, and he creates all
yeah.
this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's just like the enemy. He's Mushu.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like Mushu.
Right.
And it kind of made me laugh, but with that we need to understand something. In the book of I think it's the book of Jude, the 9th chapter. I want to see if I can pull that up. The book of Jude, the 9th chapter. It was talking about how it says it referred to a story in which the Archangel Michael was disputing
uh-huh.
with the devil about the body of Moses. And the body of Moses, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we came to understand is that he said, I'm not trying to battle with you. I'm going to let God handle that. So sometimes yeah. even as powerful, and can somebody read Jude 9:22-24? Somebody as powerful as Michael has sense enough to say, you know what? I ain't battling that. That's the Lord's battle. I'm passing that right on back to God because I know who's got the authority and the power. So, Jude, what did I say? 9 scripture? I think I said,
yes.
I had it, 22-24. Jude
9, 22-24. 22-24. Oh, my goodness.
And if you don't have it, I got it now. So I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It says,
okay.
And it says, after Abimelech had ruled over Israel for 3 years, God sent a spirit that stirred up trouble between Abimelech and the leading citizens of Shechem. And they revolted. I'm trying to get to 22. I'm sorry. I would have been reading for hours. Here we go. 22 says, after Abimelech had ruled over Israel for 3 years, God sent a spirit that stirred up trouble between Abimelech and the leading citizens of Shechem. and they revolted. God was punishing Abimelech for murdering Gideon's 70 sons and the citizens of Shechem for supporting him in this treachery of murdering his brothers. The citizens of Shechem set an ambush for Abimelech on the hilltops and robbed everyone who passed that way, but someone warned Abimelech about their plot. I'm hoping that I hear it soon because that ain't it. So I'm trying to get to 9. Oh, you know what? It gave me Judges. I'm sorry. It's supposed to be Jude. I kept saying, why is that,
well,
right?
First,
I got it on. Do you have it?
Oh, okay.
Jude 9. I was reading Judges. Do you have Jude?
Yes.
No, I said Jude.
Yes.
Jude.
Okay. Go ahead,
verse
Michael.
Nine.
Brother Bishop. He's got it.
But even Michael, one of the mightiest angels, did not accuse the devil of blasphemy, but simply said, the Lord rebuke you. This took place when Michael was arguing with the devil about Moses' body. But these people think they do not understand. Like unthinking animals. They do whatever their instincts tell them.
So the point is to focus on the fact that even Michael, one of the mightiest angels, did not accuse or deal with the devil. Just simply said, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord's going to take care of you. I ain't going to argue with you about Moses. I'm not getting into that with you. Sometimes we need to know that's not an argument we need to take on.
Amen.
That's it.
Say, God's got that. So praise God for that. So as we go on forward.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want us to be cognizant that the enemy, we have to, like Satan, like us, Satan can look for the signs and wait. Like us, he's trying to figure out what's going on, who he can use, confuse, who he can deceive. Like Brother Michael said, Brother Bishop says that he's here to steal, kill, and destroy. So he could be lurking out there somewhere in the masses of humanity right now. And so what I want us to do is to be cognizant and be aware. The scripture in Titus 2:13 says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ is the more important thing to do than to be looking for the Antichrist. Looking for God to take us home is where we need to put our focus. Looking to celebrate being with the Lord who says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Being in a place of preparation so when he calls, we go. Hallelujah.
We're ready.
That's what I'm talking about. And it's not about getting ready. You need to be ready.
Be ready.
You need to be ready right now. You need to be ready.
Amen.
So as we take the next 15 minutes to talk a little bit about the false prophet, Brother Bishop, can you introduce that?
Yes.
And we'll finish it next week.
Yes, ma'am. I find it interesting that Dr. Jeremiah starts out with the branch Davidians. And because David Koresh actually did claim to be Jesus Christ in the flesh. And the Bible tells us to beware. Jesus said many Christs shall come saying that they are Christ. He said if you go out, if he's over in the desert, he said don't go. So here's one of the profiles of the false prophet. And it says, here we go. It said, John introduced the false prophet with these words. Then I saw another beast. So we have a beast, but here's another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. See the juxtaposition of the lamb and the dragon? Anybody can tell me the difference between a lamb and a dragon?
A lamb and a
hello?
Who?
A dragon.
Yeah, but the lamb that it talks about in the lamb in the Bible, in the Revelation, talks about has a horn in the middle of his head.
Mm-hmm.
But a everyday lamb is tender and meek and mild.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But a dragon is vicious and evil and wicked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, the images of the beast in this. Yeah. Go ahead, Dr. Susie.
No, I was just saying, character-wise, if you look at it physically, you see wings, you see black, you see fire breathing, you see teeth and gnarling, fearful images.
So can I get somebody to read Revelation 16:13, somebody else get Revelation 19:20, and somebody get Revelation 20 and 10. It says, John is merely, go ahead, Margaret. Thank you.
Oh, I have 16:13, and it says.
I'll get 19:20. Jerry, can you get 20:10?
Yes.
And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet three unclean spirits like frogs, for they are demonic spirits, performing signs, who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 19:20 says, and the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. Both the beast and his false prophets were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur.
Wow.
Praise God.
You know, that just gave me...
Okay.
Let me say something real quick. That just sent a chill down my spine, Bishop, because I was thinking about the statue you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if in fact someone has planted a statue in a particular place for a reason, that won't even manifest until later on down the road. But maybe people would worship that down the road.
Yes. Oh, yes. I was in Thailand years ago, and I would watch, because Thailand is a Buddhist nation, majority.
Mm-hmm.
There are some Muslims and there are some Christians. But I would watch them, the Buddhist shrine, and they would bow to the shrine. You put your money on that shrine. I bet you better not touch that money. You better not touch that money. And so there are people that don't know Christ, don't believe in Christ, don't even believe in God, but they believe in another God. And in Isaiah, God says, I'm the only God. I know, look what I'm missing. I know of none other. That's what God is saying.
Mm-hmm.
So here these people are, you know, they would actually accept the false prophet. They would actually follow the Antichrist. So here we have to look at this. He says, you know, the images of this beast, of the beast in this passage are metaphoric. As we soon learn, John merely is using them to describe the extremely evil nature of the man who will become known as the false prophet. And next week we'll get into the purpose of the false prophet, and it's very interesting. It is significant that John's imagery combines two animals with the opposite natures. The meekness and gentleness of a lamb merged with predatory, devouring, malevolence of a dragon. In a lot of cultures, like in China, there's a dragon. They have it on Chinese New Year. You see it, you know, in parades and everything.
Yes.
So we're going to wrap this up for now. It's going to be very interesting next week. Please do not miss next week, because we're going to get into something that you really need to know. Amen. So
Amen. Amen. So we'll pick it back up next week. We just kind of wanted to introduce it, but we will be talking about the false prophet. We talked about the Antichrist. But next week we will begin talking about the role of the false prophet. So if you will, Jerry, did you want to read your scripture so we can close with that?
Sure. It was 20 what again?
I don't have it anymore.
Let's see.
It's 20 what?
The scripture that you had?
2010.
Yeah.
2010.
That's right.
2010.
Revelation 2010.
I thought that was it.
Revelation 2010. And this is the King James Version. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Wow. So that's how it ends. God is victorious.
Amen.
The battle is won. So tonight we'd like to ask, there's anybody who heard that they may not be ready, if they came to the conclusion that if Christ came today and called his people, would they be left behind? And if you're one of those people who are not sure, if you think you might be left behind, if you know that you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then I ask you right now to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that the Lord God died on the cross and was raised from the dead, and you too will rise as did he and be
Amen.
With the Lord forever.
Forever.
If you believe that, if you believe that and confess that, then you, my brothers and sisters, have accepted a relationship and you have salvation with Jesus Christ. All you need to do at this point is to get involved in a Bible-believing church, get baptized, and we are so thankful that you are here with us on Your Place tonight. We ask that you send in to Dr. Susie loveconnection@gmail.com and let us know that you accepted the Lord so that we can celebrate with you. We also would ask that you would join us and continue to grow with us and help build God's kingdom on earth. God's blessings be with you. If you'd like to call in next week, the number will be 646-478-4932. God's blessings be with you tonight and every night. See you next week.
Bye.
God bless you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.